Well, good morning to each one. What a blessing it is to be with you this morning. I count it a blessing and a privilege. I was blessed with what already was shared and with what Kinley added. He done a great job. Didn't feel like I gave him much insight, but it sounded like I did at least a little bit. For the message this morning, I'm going to be talking about the power of the mind. And what I want you to know this morning is that you are where you are and what you are because of what's going into your mind. You are where you are and what you are because of what's going into your mind. Each one of us was born to win. You were born to win. In just a little bit, I'd like to ask for a hand raise of you that, let me just go on. How many of you honestly and sincerely believe, as a matter of the fact, you're totally convinced beyond any doubt that there is something that you can specifically do in the next 2 weeks that would make your family life, your business life, and your personal life all worse? How many of you believe that? I think every one of us believe that there's something that we could do that would make it all worse. Now, how many of you believe there's something that you could do that would make it all better? So you believe there is something that you can do that you can make it all better. Very good. And how many of you believe that the choice is yours? That's right. And how many of you believe that making the right choice is your responsibility? Very good. That's a lot of questions. Now, here is what you have just said, whether you realize it or not. You've just said that regardless of how bad or good your past has been, regardless of how your present is, there is something that you can specifically do now that can make your future either better or worse. And the choice is yours. Now, folks, that's profound. You are where you are because of a series of choices that you have made. And you are where you are and what you are because of what's going into your mind. You know, I had to think, you know, why are we even here at church right now? I think it's because of the choices we've made. We've made that choice. We put that into our minds. That's what we're going to do today. That's what we're going to do this morning. And you might have other things in your mind that's what you're going to do this afternoon. And you are where you are right now because of that's what you put into your mind. If you are where you are and you like where you are, then just continue doing the things that you're doing, and then you'll keep getting the things that you're getting. But if you don't like where you are, then you're going to have to change the things that you're putting into your mind. Otherwise, you're going to keep getting what you're getting if you keep putting in the things that you're putting in. But if you want to change, you're going to have to put something else into your mind. What have you been filling your mind with? What does positive thinking do to you? Well, what does negative thinking do to you? We should always be putting in the good, the clean, the pure, and the positive over and over again. You know, repetition is the mother of learning. That makes it the father of action. That means it's the architect of accomplishment. Repetition is the mother of learning. That makes it the father of action. And that means it's the architect of accomplishment. Getting myself all mixed up. Accomplishment. Positive thinking won't get you everything, but it will help you do everything better than negative thinking will. I'm going to read a little bit of something about an attitude. And an attitude is a big deal to me, because I've had enough of bad ones. And so it's just something that I know I've put a lot of bad things into my mind already. And that means, you know, if I'm out working or whatever, that's what came out. Well, I've been trying to work on this thing for a while already, trying to put the good things in there instead. So hopefully that's what's coming out, and that's what I'm working on even today, is to put the good things in so the good things come out. I'm going to read this attitude by Charles Swindoll. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude, to me, is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past, or we cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. And I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. Mary Crowley once said, attitude is the mind's paintbrush. It can color a situation gloomy or cheerful. In fact, attitudes are more important than facts. For success, attitude is as important as ability. Question, do you have a plan when you're feeling a little down? And what gives you a little lift when you're feeling a little down? What do you go to? What is the best wireless connection? Anyone, what is the best wireless connection?
Prayer.
Prayer. Prayer. Personally, I've found that there is an answer to every problem. There is power that can help you. And why don't we just try prayer power? You know, so often I'm going about my day and I'm just doing my thing, you know, but I might have a problem of some kind. I just need help. So often I just want to fix the problem myself instead of just looking to God. I had, you know, if you look at it like Those of you that have children can probably relate to this. You know, if you have a little child and they're struggling with putting their shoe on or something like that, and you're just right there, you're so ready to help them, you want to get going, you want to keep things moving, and they're just wanting to put this shoe on themselves. And you're like, hey, we got to keep going, let's go. Like, but no, they want to do it themselves. And all that time, you've been right there, ready to help. How often is that with God and us? You know, I'm in the midst of a problem, but I just can't fix it right now, and I just want to try. I'm just bucking against this thing. But God's right there, ready to help us. If only I would just cry out to Him and try that prayer, I'm sure it would go a whole lot better. And that's one thing I've been working on. I want to remember that more, is to do better and just asking God for help right away instead of when I'm in the midst of just all frustration and everything. Every problem can be solved and solved right away if you pray. There was once this man that had an office, and in his office, he had these words up on the wall. Letters up on the wall. The letters were APRPBWPRAA. And people that came in the office came in and wondered, like, man, that's just a random bunch of letters up there. Like, what is he doing? Doesn't really spell anything, you know. And like, so they, some of the people would ask him, like, what are the letters up there on the wall about? And it was just a perfect time for him to just tell them, you know, and take a few minutes and just tell them exactly what these letters meant. The letters were: affirmative prayers release powers by which positive results are accomplished. So each letter had a word behind, had a word that a meaning to each word there. Affirmative prayers release powers by which positive results are accomplished. And I believe that that's how it is. You know, if we pray, it releases powers by which positive results are accomplished. We can accomplish a lot if we just pray. Affirmative prayer always gets results. Prayer is the greatest power available to the individual in solving his personal problems. Its power astonishes me. You know, there are so many things that prayer can do. God can do anything. But are we putting that into our minds? First thing, as soon as we have a problem, is that the first thing that comes to our mind? There's a saying that goes, if you want to get somewhere fast, go by yourself. If you want to get somewhere far, take someone with you. You know, this life is not about being by yourself. It's about being together. Going somewhere far. You know, you can go fast by yourself, but you can't go as far. You know, and as a body, as a church, you can get somewhere far if you work together. Go somewhere far. You know, there was one, like this little boy down home, he's like, Fellow, if you see a turtle on a fence post, you can rest assured that thing didn't get there by itself. You know, we all need a little bit of help once in a while. We all need each other. As a body, let's work together. We all have some talents and abilities. But you know, we know for ourselves our talents and abilities, but let me just try and say this straight here. We know our talents and abilities because to acknowledge or to confess them would commit us to use them. There's a whole lot more inside of us than what we realize sometimes. But you are the only one that can unlock your potential. There's a lot inside of you. And you were born to win. There's a lot going in your mind. But if you're the only one that can unlock that, your potential. And to acknowledge it or to confess it would commit us to use it. And how often is it that we might have some talent or something, but we just want to kind of like stay away from that or something, you know, because it's just, that would mean then we have to actually use it. We are the ones that have to do that then maybe or help with that. But there's a lot inside of us that we can do if we just unlock that potential. And Marcus Trout said, there aren't nearly enough crutches in the world for all the lame excuses. You know, we like to make a lot of excuses, but there aren't nearly enough crutches in the world for all the lame excuses. Progress involves risk. You can't steal first base and keep your foot on first. I'm sorry, you can't steal second base and keep your foot on first. You know, you have to take step one in order to take step two. But it takes risk, you know. But it's okay with God's help. He will give us the strength and the ability to do it. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday really did end last night, and today is a brand new day. You know, so many times we look at our past and we're like, man, we just really messed up. We've done all these bad things, and that's what we dwell on too much of the time. Instead of looking into the future and just focusing on that. Sure, we can learn from our past, the mistakes we've made, the things we've done, but let's not get hung up in the weeds with all that. Let's focus on the future. Today is the brand new day. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday ended last night. Today is a brand new day. You can start from where you are with what you've got and develop that ability to take you to where you really want to go. You are where you are because of what's going into your mind. You can change what you are. You can change where you are by the process of changing and selecting what goes into your mind. Let's turn to Philippians 4:8. It's a familiar verse for some of us. Talks about the things we're supposed to think on. Philippians 4:8. I'm going to start in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, which means don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. These are the things we're supposed to be putting into our minds. The true, the honest, the just, the pure, lovely, good report. Think on these things. You know, how often do we think about these things? Probably not often enough, at least for myself. Unless we make a conscious effort of it. Let's make a conscious effort of putting these things into our minds. The good, the clean, the powerful, and the positive. I'm going to turn to Psalm 34. The power of the mind. Psalm 34 talks about here David was praising the Lord. I'm going to read Psalm 34, 7 and 8. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Here we see we need to trust in the Lord. It's like a taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I hope that each one of us have tasted that the Lord is good. Just trust in him. I'm going to turn to Galatians. Galatians talks about the works of the flesh and the fruits of the spirit. Turning back a little bit here. Galatians 6. I'm going to read first. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. What you sow, that's what you're going to reap. If you sow to the flesh, then you're going to of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Let's be sowing to the Spirit, so that way we reap life everlasting. That means to put in the good, the clean, the powerful, and the positive. Then the works of the flesh there in Galatians 5, just back a chapter, 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the things we are not to put in our minds, or not to do. But it says in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Just lost my page. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If we put these into our minds, if we live these things, there is no law against them. Let's be putting in the good, the clean, the pure, the power, the powerful and the positive. In Matthew, just going to read a few verses here in Matthew yet. Matthew 7 talks about the wise man and the foolish man and what for foundation he was building. What for foundation are you building in your mind? Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Before this, Jesus was talking about all the false prophets and things like that. But I'd like to here just think about it as in our minds. What are we putting in our minds? Are you putting in all the good stuff? Or are you putting in all the bad stuff? I trust that each one of us is putting in the good things. Building upon God, the solid rock, Jesus. The one that whenever the storms come, whatever we face, no matter what it is, that we can be on that rock. Maybe it's when you're scrolling on your phone and something pops up. You're on that rock, you know, right away. You're putting that thing away, getting this, going on to the next thing that's good. Are you standing on the rock? You know, there's lots of things that we'd like to find a cure for. But I want to just tell you this morning, find the Bible term for it so that you can get the Bible cure for it. Whatever you might be facing, whatever it is, find the Bible word for it. Bible word for it, so you can get the Bible cure for it. You know, Satan has all these things that he likes to warp it. Just a little bit. He likes to warp sin, make it not sound so bad. You know, for instance, the world or the devil might call it an affair. Well, the Bible calls it adultery or fornication. Another word might be that the world calls it like ADHD. But the Bible calls it anxiety, unforgiveness, and bitterness. If you want the Bible cure for it, find the Bible word for it. And there's times when the devil comes as an angel of light, and he is poisonous. You know, did you ever bite into something that was rotten? And it's just nasty. But it looks so good on the outside. That's how the devil comes sometimes. It looks so good. But I trust that we can look to God and be standing on that solid rock. And when things like that happen, that we can just turn to Him instantly in prayer instead of keeping on going with the thing that we're facing, with that rottenness. You know, I had to think of a thermostat and a thermometer. And I wish I had a picture or something that I could, but just picture with me. A thermostat is something that you put on the wall and it controls the temperature. A thermometer is something that you place somewhere and it tells you the temperature. Which one are you? Are you a thermometer or a thermostat? I hope you're a thermostat, because whatever's inside there, you, when you face a hard time or a trial, be a thermostat. Control the temperature. Don't let whatever's outside control you. Be that thermostat that you control your inside. You know, you're inside a room and that thermostat will control the temperature. And when you face a temptation or a trial or something like that, if you're a thermostat, you're grounded in God, you're going to be able to control the temperature. You're not going to get heated or angry or bitter at something that's happening, that happens to you, if you are controlling the temperature. But if you are a thermostat, then you're just going to go with whatever the temperature is out there, and you're just going to blow up if that's what it takes. Whenever a heat wave hits you, you're going to just be hot then. So be a thermostat, not a thermometer. The wickedness of the world today is shown through many different things, like movies, videos, and some bad music. And there's lots of that out there. But just remember to be standing on the firm foundation, that rock that's secure. And when the rain falls, when the storm hits, you're not going to be shaken. Let's all kneel for prayer.